Bye shalom, everyone. So good to be here tonight. It's amazing that we get opportunity to come and serve Yehovah. Amen. So we're going to get started right where we left off. I want to read the last verse of chapter 13 again, just to give kind of a remembrance on what did Avram do to position himself back. Because remember, he went down to Mitzrayim and he caused all kinds of issues. But now, this is what happened. So Avram moved his tent and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built a slaughter place there to Yehovah. So we know that he's got a place for communicating. Because remember, the slaughter place is that place for him to communicate with Yehovah. In Mitzrayim, he didn't have a slaughter place. But we know now he's got everything set back again. And the moment he gets everything set back in place, something strikes that causes kind of a controversy. Some chaos is happening. And what we see is Avram is kind of pushed in a direction to lend some assistance because of his brother being involved in it, meaning his brother Lot. And so we're going to look at that in the 14th chapter, verse number 1. So Genesis 14, 1. And it came to be in the days of Ephrael, sovereign of Shinar, that Oryok, sovereign of Elasar, Kedor Laomer, sovereign of Elam, Tidal, and sovereign of Goim, that they fought against Bera, sovereign of Saddam, Bersha, sovereign of Amorah, Shinav, sovereign of Admah, and Shem Eber, sovereign of Zeboim, and the sovereign of Bela, that is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Kedor Laomer. In the 13th year they rebelled, and in the 14th year Kedor Laomer, the sovereign that were with him, came and struck the Rephaim in Astoroth, Koronaim, and Zuzim, and Ham, and the Emites of Shaveh, Kiriathim, and the Horites in their mountains of Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and struck all the countries of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwelt at Hatzesan Tamar, and the sovereign of Sodom, and the sovereign of Amorah, and the sovereign of Admah, and the sovereign of Zeboim, and the sovereign of Bela, and that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Kedor Laomer, sovereign of Elam, and Tidal, sovereign of Goim, and Amraphel, sovereign of Shinar, and Oryok, sovereign of Elasar, 4 sovereigns against 5. And the valley of Siddim had many tar pits, and the sovereigns of Sodom and Amorah fled and fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. They took all the goods of Sodom and Amorah and all their food and went away. And they took Lot, Avram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and left. And one who had escaped came and informed Avram, the Hebrew. It's the first time we see this kind of mentioned this way. Avram the Hebrew. So this is the Ivri. And so we're going to learn some things about that. For he dwelt by where? The terebinth tree of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they had a covenant with Avram. So where is he still? By the terebinth tree of Mamre. So we read 13, the last verse of 13, he's still there. Now this war took place, there's 4 kings against 5, and Saddam, Amorah, in those areas where Lot got to choose what he wanted to do, they were under attack. And they lost. They wiped them out. They took all their stuff, and they took Lot with them, and they took captives, and they had, captured many of the people there, and were going to just go on their merry way. But Abram heard about this. He heard about his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went and pursued as far as Dan. So notice he armed his 318 trained men born in his house. That's all significant. We'll look at that as we go along. And he and his servants divided against them by night and struck them and pursued them as far as Havoth, which is on the left of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So Abram pursued them, and he overcome these kings that fought against the five against the four. Abram went in, not even knowing how many men, but these are kings. I'm sure they had great armies. But Abram had 318 trained men born in his own house. They didn't speak a different word. They spoke the same word Abram spoke. They didn't believe a different system. They believed the same system he believed. And he pitched his tent at the Terebinth tree. Guess where the 318 men pitched their tents? At the Terebinth tree. They wasn't somewhere else doing something else, saying, oh, well, God's got me over here. You got to check that, because God had Abram at the Terebinth tree of Mamre. He had all the rest of his men there also. Not some of them, all of them. They were all in the same spot waiting to hear from Jehovah. And because of it, they were in a better position to then help Lot, because Lot succumbed to war. Now, this is the first mention of war. Now, I'm sure there was some battles between the time we started reading in Genesis. Maybe there was some battles between all of that with Nimrod and all that. But what we know, this is the first time it's mentioned in Scripture, the first war. And why does Abram get involved? He gets involved because of Lot. Simply, that's the simplest answer I can give you. That's why he got involved. Other than that, he would have never paid no mind to it, because that's the stuff was happening all around him, and he wasn't involved in none of the rest. Lot was the reason he was involved. And so he goes and he gets Lot, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot, his goods, as well as the women and the people. And after his return from the striking of Kedor Laomer and the sovereigns who were with him, the sovereigns of Saddam came out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the sovereign's valley. And Melchizedek, sovereign of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the priest of the Most High El, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High El, possessor of heavens and earth. And blessed be the Most High El who has delivered your enemy into your hands. And he gave him a tenth of all. And the sovereign of Saddam said to Abram, give me the people and take the goods for yourself. But Abram, everybody say, but Abram. This is what happens when you sit at the Terebinth tree of Mamre. You don't get sidetracked by stuff. Abram wasn't going to get sidetracked by the stuff. Now, he went out there, and it was their blood and their sweat that they defeated these kings, and they captured everything back. So they deserve something. And Abram had taken possession of only the stuff that was already his, which was Lot. Who left with Abram when he left? His servants, his women, and all his stuff. That's what Abram laid claim to. Other than that, watch what he says. But Abram said to the sovereign of Saddam, I have lifted my hand to Jehovah, the Most High El, the possessor of heaven and earth, not to take a thread or a sandal strap or whatever is yours. He didn't want nothing that came out of Sodom or Gomorrah. Nothing. Not a thread and not a sandal strap. If it's yours, I don't want to swap with you. I don't want the stuff. And he said, I'll take the people, you take the stuff. Notice Avram's in a position, a better position than he was when he was in Mizraim. Because now he's under the terebinth tree of Mamre, and now he's understanding some things on how to reply back and how to exercise the authority that God gave him and be in a position. Notice he said, I lifted my hands to Yehovah. And so in doing that, we see that he's in a much better position to do what God needed him to do. And I thought it was wonderful that we look at that and see how he's delivered this word to the king of Saddam. He was letting him know that he was not going to succumb to that. And the sovereign of Saddam said, give me the people and take the goods for yourself. But Avram said to the sovereign of Saddam, I have lifted my hands to Yehovah, the Most High El, the possessor of heavens and earth, not to take a thread or a sandal strap or whatever is yours, lest you should say I have made Avram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portions of the men who went with me, Abner, Ishkol, Mimre, let them take their portions. And so what we see here is Abraham is in a much better position with how he's handling the situation because he was staying with the teacher of strength. The teacher that constantly gives strength. He went into battle with this strength. He come out the battle with the same strength. It does no record that he lost a single person. Yet he had the ability to go in and make these kings humble themselves to the point that they begin to surrender. And Avram was in a better position because he understood that now he's hearing from what Yehovah's saying. He's learning. Not only that, we're told that he has 318 men who are trained. They're trained. And these 318 men are trained to speak the same words Avram speaks. To have the same belief Avram has. They're not having some different belief. They're all in harmony. They're working together. And we see the results of that. They were victorious, even though they were outnumbered many times over. They were outnumbered. And so we just went through Gideon. And what happened with Gideon? How Gideon was downsized to 300. And the same thing, because they were humbling themselves and being trained and being taught the same way, they went in and were victorious. And so God doesn't need huge numbers to accomplish the task that he sets out to do. What he needs is people to humble themselves, and we won't teeter around what's right and what's wrong. We understand what God said, and that's what we aim to follow what God said. That's it. We're not here to make up our own ideas, our own theologies. We're here to believe what God said and live out what he said. And doing that, we'll see some principles that are important to our life, and it'll help us understand these things as we continue to go on. So one of the things that we have to understand about this particular passage of scripture is we look at these kings, and what we see, the four kings, Amraphel means sayer of darkness, fall of the sayer, and Shinar means country of two rivers, and Aryok means lion like and Elasar means El is chastener. And Kedor La'amar means handful of sheaves. And Allah means eternity. And Tid'al means great sun. And Goim means nations of people. And Barah means son of the evil. Saddam means burning. Beershah means with iniquity, and Amora means submersion. And Shinav means splendor of the Father. Admah means red earth. Shem Avir means lofty flight. Zeboim means gazelles. And Zoar means insignificant. And Bela means destruction. And so when we consider these meanings of the names of the places of these kings and rules, we can see that burning, submersion, and destruction were certainly how these cities would meet their end. And we see that happening. But one of the things we have to remember is that God has given us his word. And what we see happening in verse 13, that Avram's mentioned, Avram the Hebrew. Think about it. So we just mentioned all these kings. And so what he's doing, he's drawing a contrast. He's contrasting all of these kings. And they're no doubt they're kings and they have kingdoms. They have people. And then he's contrasting Abraham. Now where's Lot? Lot's involved in all of these kings that I just mentioned. And he's in trouble. If Abraham don't rescue him, he's in trouble. How many of you know that if Yeshua don't rescue us, we're in trouble? But he rescued us so we can be free from the trouble that certain death, we're never getting out of it. Why? Because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory. And so he rescued us, just like Avram. And how was Avram able to do that? Because he kept himself in a position to be able to exercise the authority of Yehovah. So it seems like Yehovah always starts to reduce the numbers down. That way he can show how mighty he is, so he can work through people who will just submit to him. And so with 318 men, he was able to go in. But the reason he was able to do that, because Avram kept himself by the slaughter place of the Taberah tree of Mamre, understanding the teacher's strength is something that will be continued. Now we know he was introduced to the Taberah tree of Moreh, which is what? The teacher of what? The mighty what? Teacher, the mighty teacher. And so now we have the teacher of strength or fatness. And so it explains why Avram was, he was constantly, the fatness represented the blessings that was on his life. He constantly began to grow, constantly began to have more herdsmen, more servants. He was expanding because he was under the Taberah tree of Mamre, understanding these things. Now these 318 men, they grew up in his house. They were part of what he was doing. They weren't learning something else. He had already crossed over. And that's what it means. The Hebrew means, in Ivri, means he crossed over. Where did he cross over? He crossed over the Euphrates, because on the other side of the Euphrates, that was the place of Nimrod. But he had to distance himself, get away from that. Find himself down in Hebron by the Taberah tree of Mamre, where he can understand the strength of the teacher. And it has to happen in our lives too. We have to have the strength of the teacher. And the word, that's why the word of Yehovah is so important to our life, that we understand these things. And so this word Ivri is 5680. It means the one from beyond, or the one who has crossed over. Avram was the first one to be called a Hebrew in Scripture, as he crossed over the Euphrates and followed the instructions of Elohim. The word Ivri comes from a root word, Avir, which is the name of the descendants of Shem and means region beyond. Region beyond. Comes from the word, the root word, Avar, which means to pass over, through, or by, or pass on. So Avram was in a position where he had to listen to Yehovah. The only time we see him get a little on the outs with Yehovah is when he's not listening to him. The fact that he left the Taberah tree of Moreh and wind up in Mitzrayim kind of shows us that he, because he did that, we looked at that last week, that was a dangerous time, not only for him, but for his family. He put his wife in jeopardy because he wasn't paying attention to what he needed to do. But thank God Avram was learning through these lessons to now go back to the place he had once been, go back to the territory of Mamre, build a slaughter place, and he remained there even though all of this stuff was happening. He didn't get out of position, because position is everything when it comes to understanding the things of Yehovah. It's very important that we stay in position. Why is that? Because if you get out of position, the people like Lot have no help coming. There's nobody to rescue him. If Avram's out of position, nobody's getting Lot. He's in trouble. He's going to lose everything. He loses his family. He loses his all of his households, lost forever. But Avram had to be in position in order to go and rescue Lot. And same thing with us. You always have to maintain position, because if you have lost family members, if you get out of position, then where's the hope at? Where's the help at? So we have to maintain. I don't care how hard the struggle is. It makes no difference how difficult the situation is around you. You have to hold a position, because if not, there's nobody going to be able to help you. Just like Yeshua. Yeshua had all kinds of difficulty come along in his life, but he had to hold a position that he was not going to break the commands of Yehovah. And because of it, he was then in a position to then rescue the entire world, who definitely needed some help. We all needed some help. He rescued. And so what did he do? He went and get us out of darkness and put us in his marvelous light. That's what he did. Isn't that amazing? So go to Peter. We always in 1 Peter. Always going there. Why? Because it's so much power there. We read it for years. We don't even understand what we're reading. But how many still we're going to learn what he's talking about here. So he took us out of darkness and put us into his marvelous light. How many thank God for that? 1 Peter chapter 2. Read again from verse 1. And having put aside then all evil and all deceit and hypocrisies and envy and all evil words. That's what Avram did. He put aside all them things. And the reason he was able to maintain, because he stayed at the territory of Mamre in the strength of the teacher. And he was listening. He was being taught. He was being trained and coming to some understandings. And so he put aside all these things, just like we have to. We have to put aside all evil, all deceit, all hypocrisies and envy and all evil words. As newborn babes, desiring the unadulterated milk of the word in order that you grow by it. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't want, is the unadulterated word. They like adulterated word because it's been fooled with. It's been altered. We're talking about unaltered word. We're talking about what thus said Yehovah. When we look at his word and we're able now to take words and go look at it and go to its original and then bring back a true understanding of what he's actually saying. We're able to check the work of men. We're able to be able to check. You can check my work. You can check it. You go back and look at what it says and you understand these principles and these understandings. The unadulterated word, milk of the word, in order that we grow by it. Now, if growing's a necessity, to me, what Kepha's letting us know, growth is a necessity. We don't stay babes. Growth is a necessity. So we come in, we're born again, we're newborn babes. But growth is important. We have to grow by it. So growing by it means that if we're not growing by it, we're still constantly needing to be nurtured and pampered and changed and tended to. That's no growth. We're not maturing. We're not growing older. We're not being able to start handling ourselves. Why do I need to handle myself? Remember, 318 trained men. Trained men who knew how to wield a sword. And if the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, you got to know how to handle this weapon. You got to be well-versed in the text. Not just me well-versed in it. You have to. That's why we give you everything that I have. Everything that I have, you have. You have access to it. It just matters how much time you want to spend in it and dive deep into it, because if you don't get ready, who are you going to rescue? If you don't, are you going to get caught in debates and lose debates because you don't know how to handle the word? We're here to handle the word. Let me tell you, he needed 318 men who knew how to handle the word. They couldn't be manipulated. They went in and they took care of business and they weren't turning to the right or the left. They was only saying what Avram was saying and nothing else. And not one of them wanted a thread or a shoelace. Just why? Because Avram didn't want it. When Avram lifted his hands toward Yehovah, guess what the 318 men did? They lifted their hands to Yehovah, nothing else. They weren't giving praise to the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom lost. Remember, he lost. He couldn't even defend his own people, and Lot was part of that people. He couldn't even defend them because he was out of position. He wasn't doing what he needed to do, and he was using pagan means and serving other gods, but Avram was serving the true God, and because of it, he was empowered to go in and take care of business. But I want you to remember, you have to be prepared to handle this. Some people say, well, I don't want to sword me. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. And so whether you want it or not, you're either going to leave your people in the hands of the king of Kedor Laomer, or you're going to go get them. Because their success is going to be left up to how you handle the word. And so is it important that we learn? Is it important that we pitch our tents at the terebinth tree of Mamre? You better believe it is. Is it important that we build a slaughter place? Yes, indeed it is. You have to have access to the throne of God. You get up in the morning. Listen, we get up in the morning, there's got to be some type of routine you have. There's got to be some good habits that you have when it comes to learning. You get up in the morning, you say, God, I thank you for a good day. It's a great day. I thank you for being with me. And then you pray. So you have your prayer. And then after your prayer, you go on to work. If you go on to work, you pray in the protection of Yehovah over your life and the people that you're going to be in contact with. You have a routine. If you drive, if you go on to town, you pray, God, protect us as we travel back and forth. Not just going, but coming. Sometimes you get up there and you get busy. You forgot to pray about coming back. When you're praying the first time, do cover both of them at the same time. That way you don't fail to remember. I want to be protected going and coming. My going out and my coming in is important to Yehovah. I may understand that. It's important. And he'll take care of both of them if we'll call upon his name and give praise to him. So we see this happening in 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babies, desire the unadulterated word in order that we grow by it. Growth is important. If indeed you have tasted that the Master is good. If you indeed you have tasted that the Master is good. He's good. Amen. How many believe you've tasted that he's good? Draw near to him. If he's good, draw near to him as living stones. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Elohim and precious. Avram was rejected by men. What did Pharaoh tell him? Get out and don't come back. He was rejected. But he was precious to Elohim, just like you are precious to him. You're precious to him. And so we have to draw near to him as living stones. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Elohim and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. We're being built up. See being. That's actually happening. It's actively happening even right now. You're being built up. Right now, I'm being built up. You don't arrive. You don't finish the house and then walk in and got the key and you sit on the couch and everything's fine and dandy. That's not how it happens. Until Christ comes, we're being built up a spiritual house. We're being built up. It's an active ongoing process that's actually happening. Even while I'm speaking, we're being built up in him. So you have to see that happening in your life. It's like class is in session. The teacher's teaching. We're here to learn. We're here to grab hold to what he's... And so you have to make sure that you relax in the strength of the teacher at the terebinth tree of Mamre and understand that you have to visit the slaughter place is not for Yehovah. Remember, he don't need a slaughter place. Yehovah's not the one that gets sideways with somebody or crossways or makes a mistake. It's not Yehovah that needs a slaughter place. We need it. But to communicate with him, we first have to sacrifice in order for us to, we can have a sweet aroma that's well-pleasing to him. And so our posture and how we humble ourselves is important. And so what do we do at altars most of the time? What's a common thing you do at an altar? You kneel. So you're humbling yourself before in Jehovah. And so we see that these are very important principles to take into consideration. You also, as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a set apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual slaughter offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah. I want you to remember what I'm reading here in 1 Peter 2, because this is important, because I'm going to show you something. There's been a change in the priesthood. Because we had Avram given a tithe to Melchizedek. Who's this Melchizedek? I just read that to you in the text, in our reading of the text that we have for tonight in the 14th chapter. We need to understand these terms, because it is contained in the scripture. It is contained where? In the scripture. See, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen, precious, and he who believes on him shall by no means be put to shame. That's quoting Yeshayahu 28, verse 16. I mean, see that. So if we're trying to figure out what scripture is, it's left to Matthew, according to the he says it's contained in scripture and gives us a quote from what's left to Matthew. I mean, see that. This is not me making it up. This is what the text is telling us. When we read Peter, so this is preciousness then. This preciousness then is for you who believe. But to those who are disobedient, so he's showing another contrast here. We have those who believe. He calls that the preciousness. And then those who are disobedient, he contrasts the two. They're the opposite of each other. They clash. This preciousness then is for you who believe, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Let me see that. And a stone of stumbling, a rock that makes for falling, who stumbles because they are disobedient to the word. Disobedient to what? The word. What word are we talking about? We're talking about scripture. They're disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. We're appointed to this word. What else are we appointed to? We're not appointed to the word. You know why we miss our appointments? Because we have adopted other things that Jehovah said for us not to do, and that those other things are directly connected to Nimrod. And so we adopted those things, and so the thing that we were appointed to, we didn't recognize it. We appointed to the word, and the word tells us about these appointments. It talks about Pesach. It talks about first fruits. It talks about unleavened bread. It talks about all of them are appointed times that we're appointed to. And the reason you don't do those things is because there was no crossing over. We never crossed over. We stayed on the other side of the Euphrates in the land of Nimrod. But Avram was told, leave your father and your kindred and go to the place I'll show you. He was trying to get him to these terebinth trees. He was trying to get him to the terebinth tree of Moreh and Mimre. He was trying to get him over there so he could understand these principles and grab hold to how important it is for his life. And so notice that he says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, who stumble because they are disobedient to the word. That's why you stumble, disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. If we are appointed to the word and we're dealing with scripture, we're appointed to it, then why would anybody think you got to get rid of it or distance yourself from it? To me, it makes no sense at all. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he did. He called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. I had to have somebody come and rescue me. Why? Because I was in darkness. I couldn't get myself out of it. I was like a blind man trying to find his way in the darkness. I had no light whatsoever, but he rescued me out of darkness. Amen. Thank God Yeshua rescued us out of darkness. Same thing with Avram. He rescued Lot out of darkness. Lot was doomed. He would have never survived what happened to him. Never. He would have never survived it. But Avram was in a position, sticking with the program that Yehovah told him, settled his tent and pitched his tent under the terebinth tree of Mamre, now built a slaughter place. Now he's got constant communication with Yehovah. He can communicate with him. Now he's in a better position to do what he needs to do. Now he can go and rescue somebody, because not only is Avram learning, but he has 318 trained men who was born in his house who were exceptional, because they were going through the same process, same training. Now, Avram didn't start out with 318 men. But they were brought into his family throughout this time period from him crossing over. Time has gone by, and now he's got all these guys, think about it, and they're all speaking the same word. They're all doing the same thing. They're in harmony, they're flowing, and the power and presence of God is going to prove itself of their harmony because of the victory that they have. They was able to be in a position to go and rescue Lot. Same thing with Yeshua. He was in a position to come and rescue us. He took us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? So how many of you know there's a big difference between light and darkness? We learned that very early on in our study of Genesis. We learned that. So if he took me out of darkness and put me in his marvelous light, what did he do that for? What did he put me in the marvelous light for? Now I'm able to see the things of Yehovah. I'm able to see the word. And if I see the word, I can obey the word. Or I can disobey the word. It's up to me. You don't have to obey the word. You can do whatever you want to do. Remember, you decide your fate. You're going to decide what side you're going to live on. You're going to decide how things are going to go. Just like Lot decided to take the good land and move on down to Sodom, to the city life, that's what he chose. He chose his fate. And so what was coming came to him, and he received the fruit of his seed that he sowed going down there. But thank God, Avram wasn't sidetracked by the fertile land, that because he had animals to feed. What he was doing, he was trusting Yehovah, that Yehovah was going to provide everything he needed, and he didn't want a single thing other than what Yehovah provided. He stuck to the position, and because of it, he was now in a position to go and rescue somebody who had succumbed to all that the enemy had said. How many know there's people need rescuing today? They need rescuing. Who feels like you're in a position to start rescuing? Can you wield the sword of the Spirit? Can you wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, and deliver the message? Can you get in a debate and be able to articulate the scripture enough that you can stand true upon principles of Yehovah? Or are we just reading it to get through it? Or we're learning something? You have to stay at the strength of the teacher. You have to. If you don't, you're not going to be in a position to go. And are you going to be like that 318 men who was trained? How many know training don't happen in one day? It takes time. It takes dedication. It's a lot of pain involved in training. It's a lot of giving up of the other stuff that we could be doing, but we don't do that. You got to give that up, because now you're training. You're training for something. When you're training, whether it's to sports training, if you're training in sports and you're trying to win something, you got to show up at practice. You got to train. You don't just show up at the game and say, "Well, I'm good. I'm a star." How many know the star gets it handed to him when he acts that way? Just like a fighter. If the fighter doesn't have a good fight camp where he trained and he lost the proper weight, he won't even make the weigh-in. And I'm convinced that many people go to church, they got every service, they're doing everything, they're getting all the slides, but they're not even making the weight. And it disturbs me. It really disturbs me that we're not even making weight. Not to mention, you know, what happens if you're fighting, you don't make weight? You lose the fight. You didn't even fight, you lost without fighting. Because you didn't have the discipline enough to cut the weight in order to understand the principles of God. See, we have to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. We have to let that go, and we have to be strengthened in the strength and fatness of the teacher. Because when you do that, you're training for a fight, You got a good training camp. You sparring. You getting bruised up. You taking, you know, you as the fight gets closer, you're less sparring because you're trying to heal. But before, when you first started, you were going all out. I mean, you were putting it all on out there. But when the fight gets closer, now you're starting to peel back a little bit, and now you're going to take everything you train and you're going to put it into action. Well, Avram was in a position for 318 men who was ready to go and rescue Lot, and they accomplished that task. That's what's so beautiful about it. So I want you to go to Romans 11. I'm going to take you on a sort of the journey that Yehovah took me on dealing with this 14th chapter. Romans 11. Not only did he rescue us from darkness and put us in the marvelous light, but we've been grafted in. This is what it means. He had 318 men of his own house. They weren't foreigners. They were his guys. They were his children. He treated them like sons. Is he not doing that for us? Did he not? He didn't just take out of darkness. He put us in the marvelous light. Then he grafted us into the covenant. We're part of the covenant of Abraham. You and I got that done for us. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to appreciate that. So when it comes time to training, you got to think about what he's done for you. How good he's been to us. And so Romans 11, we'll look at it together. Verse 1. I say then, has Elohim rejected his people? Question. Let it not be. For I also am of Israel and of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. This is Shaul talking here. He said, I'm the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. And Elohim has not rejected his people. I'm telling you, Elohim has not rejected us. It don't make no difference what it looks around you. He's not rejected us. He's faithful to us. It makes no difference who you think's winning. I can tell you, Elohim has not rejected us. Amen. He's faithful to his word, and he will do what he set out to do. He says, who has Elohim has not rejected his people, whom he knew beforehand, or do you not know what the scripture says of Eliyahu, how he pleaded with Elohim against Israel, saying, Yehovah, they have killed your prophets and overthrown your slaughter places, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. This is Eliyahu. This is what he's saying. Elijah, he's disturbed about what's happening. They come in and destroyed the prophets. They destroyed the prophets, and I'm by myself. And what did he respond to him with? But what does the answer of Elohim say to him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. He said, you didn't think I was working, but I've been working. I want to tell you, it may not look like God is working, but I can tell you, he's reserving people all over this nation, all over the world, who will not bow the knee to Baal. They will not leave the territory of Moreh. They will not go anywhere. They're staying firm because they're going to get ready for when God says, okay, it's time to rescue Lot. They'll be in position. And you want to be part of that. If you're here just to survive yourself, you're in here for the wrong reason. You're not here just to make it for yourself. Some of you here got sons and daughters. You got moms and dads. You got husbands and wives. You got grandchildren. You got great-grandchildren. And let me tell you, the king of Kedar, Amar, has come to take and snatch him away. But thank God for Avram, who stood up and said, not going to happen here. He picked his 300 trained men. And I can't emphasize enough, we have to be trained before we get out there. So you ought to take advantage of every opportunity you get. I know I take advantage of every opportunity I get. There's no, you don't get, listen, I've been finished with all these slides. There's no new slide. This is ones that's going to be for this particular tour portion. They're all done. But you can't just have them to have them. You got to go and immerse yourself in them. You got to look at every word. You got to go read. Go back and look. How does this make connection? And just sit there sometime. Just sit there and let Yehovah move it in your spirit to lead and guide you. And let me tell you, he not only took me out of darkness, he put me in the marvelous light, but he grafted me in. I'm part of the family. I'm part of his trained sons who live in his house. We're in his house. We're part of that. And so, I know you look around sometime and you think, it's just us. Let me tell you, if it would be just us, we'd all be in trouble. But Yehovah said, I've preserved 7,000 who never bowed the knee to Baal. How powerful is that? Let me tell you, this is what he's saying here in the 11th chapter of Romans. So therefore also, at this present time, a remnant according to the choice of favor has come to be. And if by favor, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, favor is no longer favor. And if it is of works, it is no longer favor. Otherwise, works is no longer works. What then? Question. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the chosen did obtain it, and the rest were hardened. They were hardened. As it has been written, Yehovah has given them a spirit of deep sleep, eyes not to see, ears not to hear, unto this day. David also says, let their table become for a snare and for a trap and for a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened not to see and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Question, let it not be. They stumbled, but it's not forever. Somebody say it's not forever. You might know somebody who stumbled, but it's not forever. Can somebody help me tonight? It's not forever. They stumbled, but he said, is it forever? Is that stumble or fall forever? Let it not be. Why? Because we're dealing with Yehovah, and we're dealing with a guy by the name of Avram who had the guts to get up and cross over the Euphrates and raised 318 men who was trained and born in his own house. And he got out there and he destroyed those kings in no time flat. He got rid of them. And he got Lot. He got his stuff. He got his women. He got everything. He didn't lose anything. He got it all back. And that should be something that should be impressive to us. Do we really trust that Yehovah is able to keep those who have fallen? Maybe I need to read that again, because sometimes I think we read this, but we're really not seeing what he's saying. And if by favor it is no longer works, otherwise favor is no longer favor. And if it is of works, it is no longer favor, otherwise works is no longer works. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the chosen did obtain it, and the rest were hardened. There weren't many who obtained this when Yeshua came. He had 12 disciples. That's it. And one of them wasn't right. Think about that. So there were very few on a comparison scale that obtained this. But we have people who obtained it. And Shaul became one of them that obtained this. Now he was of the tribe of Benjamin. So he understood this principle. He understood what was happening. As it had been written, Yehovah has given them a spirit of deep sleep, eyes not to see, ears not to hear, unto this day. David also said, let their table become a snare for a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened not to see and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled that they shall that they should fall. Let it not be. So understand, the stumble doesn't mean it's over. Everybody say, the stumble doesn't mean it's over. Now I don't care who you got on your mind. You might have some folks on your mind and you might say, man, they stumbled. And you might sometimes get frustrated and you might even say, you know, I'm so tired of them stumbling. Well, listen, we don't have the rights to talk about being tired of who stumbles. All we have to do is stay at the territory of Mamre, and we have to maintain the teacher's strength in order for us to be in a position where when the time comes, we can wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, and do it correctly. Amen. Without hesitation. Or we won't be trained like these 318 men. They were trained. Let it not be, but by their fall, deliverance has come to the nations to provoke them to jealousy. And if their fall is riches for the world, their failures riches for the nations, how much more their completeness? What do you think is going to happen when I bring them all back? It's going to start something that you can't stop. And you better be in a position to not be sidetracked to thinking of any other passion besides what's laid out for us in the scripture. For I speak to you, the nations, inasmuch as I am an emissary to the nations, I esteem my service. And if somehow I might provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. These 318 men were his flesh. He told us that. And what is he saying? You have some flesh out there too. You know, there's a saying we say, well, they're not interested, they have no skin in the game. Listen, you got to get skin in the game when you're doing this. This is no joke. You have to have skin in the game. It's got to mean something to you. And sometime when you got skin in the game, you won't be able to do what you've been wanting to do. You won't be able to go where you've been wanting to go. You're going to have to stay put. You're going to have to stand under the every tree of Mamre, under the strength of the teacher, and get done what God wants you to do. You're going to have to. Because when God says to you or compels you to go rescue Lot, you got to be in a position to do that. You can't be giving excuses. Well, I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. You mean to tell me it's been all these years and you still don't know what to say? We got to get with the program here. By now, we got to know what to say. We got to at least be able to put words together. We got to be able to look at Romans 11 and read Romans 11 and understand what's this concept that he's talking about. What is he saying here? We have to be in a position to be able to articulate the word of God after being in it all these years. We have to be able to do that. This is serious. For if they're casting away is the restoration to favor of the world, what is their acceptance but life from the dead? Now if the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. Who's the first fruit that's set apart? Yeshua. And the lump is what? Also set apart. Now this terminology is strange in the renewed writing. But when you understand what he's saying here, that set apartness is something that Yehovah has instituted for our understanding. Avram couldn't be left in the land of Nimrod. He had to be set apart from that. He had to separate himself. Nor could he go down south to Mitzrayim. So what happened? Avram started out, then he went down halfway, then he wound up far south, then God had to bring him back to the place he had been. We have to pay attention and we have to be obedient to Yehovah. Now watch what he says. Now if the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. Not might be some day in the sweet by and by. If the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. And if the root is set apart, so are the branches. So who's the root here he's talking about? Yeshua. If Yeshua is set apart, then what about the branches? Should we not be set apart? Why is branches important? Because he's about to tell us about these branches. If some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree have been grafted in among them, came to share the root and the fatness of the olive tree, the fatness of the olive tree. What are we dealing with? Terebinth trees, meaning teacher. We're dealing with trees here and we're dealing with fatness of the tree. What is Mamre mean? Strength or fatness? I'm not making this up. This is what it means. And here we see this language. What is Shaul dealing with here? He's dealing with the same, our understanding of how we look at Genesis 14 and these 318 men who were ready to go. They weren't there just doing what they did. And all of a sudden, Avram's compelled to rescue Lot, because if he don't go rescue him, now there's no reason for Avram to be involved in that war. It's none of his business until Lot was there. See, your children are your business. Your husband is your business. Your wife is your business. Your family is your business. And you have to be involved in that. When Yehovah gives you the command, you have to be in a position to do. That's why you got to constantly be ready to go. And you have to be able to wield the sword, sword in hand. Now, you have to understand, as you read, go back and read Genesis 14, it means that they had sword in hand. 318, they didn't go out with a pitcher and a fire in it, because that wasn't the command of God. They went out with sword in hand. They went out there to make it quick and get the job done and get back. And that's exactly what they did. But they were in a position to do that, and they was able to take their training and put it to work and accomplish the task. Lot was rescued. His whole family's rescued. All his stuff's rescued. The women's rescued. The servants, everybody's rescued. Because they went in and they were ready to go, and they got the job done. And it should be something that should impress us. If you want to read stories of inspiration, go read Genesis 14. It inspires me. Some people get inspired by sports events and home run hits and amazing touchdown throws. You know, that's all fun, but there's no inspiration that's going to be life-changing for you. But when you look at what happened with how they was able to accomplish what they accomplished, because their connection, when he says they were trained from Avram, he trained them personally. They said the same thing he said, believed the same thing he believed, carried and conducted themselves the same way. Their tents was pitched at the terebinth tree of Mamre. Why? Because Avram pitched his tent there. They weren't somewhere else in a different location, some other field doing their thing. That don't make sense. Don't make a lick of sense. But folks are going to believe whatever they're going to believe, but you can't quit and you can't give up on nobody. Don't ever quit and don't ever give up on nobody. Thank God for Avram, who didn't give up on Lot. He went out there and got him. Just like you got to be in position to be ready to go get when God says go get. Amen? If some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree have been grafted in among them and came to share in the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, remember, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. Amen. Remember that. We need the root to bear us. If not, we're in trouble. If Yeshua is not bearing us, we're in trouble. Just like if the 318 men, if they wouldn't have been bared by Avram, so is it important what Avram does? You better believe it. Now, it was risky what he did the previous chapter. He took all of them, 318 down to Mitzrayim, took his wife down there. It was absolute chaos. Chaos broke out. All of a sudden, he recognized, man, I'm not in the will of Yehovah. I got to do something about this. Thank God he was able to recognize his mistake and get back to the place he had been. Remember that? We read that he got back to the place he had been. He was already there, but he left he left that place. You shall say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Good. By belief they were broken off, and you stand by unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. Don't be arrogant. Thank God you're in the position you're in. Amen. Don't be arrogant and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. If you find yourself saying that, you haven't learned anything since we started. What right do you have to think that way? You haven't to have a thought like that into your mind, you have no right to that. Thank God you're in the position you're in. It's only by His grace that we're able to have an open mind to understand. It's only Yehovah who gave us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know. If it wouldn't have been for Him, we'd be just in the same position as Lot was. No different. But the rescue will come. Yeshua came, and we responded to His rescue. We responded to His call. And we have to be living stones, continually doing what He called us to do. We are being built up a spiritual house. Amen. We have to, it's got to be constant. It can't be, you don't get there, and all of a sudden you're good. There's no such a thing. Listen, it's easy. After doing this for so long, you can just kind of take it. Well, it's just that. Look, listen, if I don't spend time during the week, and I'm finished the slide, I don't have nothing to slide, just because I got time, you know, I don't have nothing to do. But if I don't go over it and remind myself of what this is there for, I'm not going to be in a position to be able to teach the class tonight. There's no way I'll be in a position. I have to take some time to inundate myself in the text, to allow it to speak to me. And when you're done, you go over it again. And when you're finished, you read it again. I read, you know how many times I read Romans 11 before I got here? I read it over and over and over and over. Because you're not done. We're being built up. It's something that's ongoing, and we need to be equipped in this. And so we see this wonderful principles laid out here. We grafted in. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, He might not spare you either. Amen. Let's not forget that. He took the natural branches off. What makes us think if we can clown around, He won't take us off? It has to be something serious. See then that kindness and sharpness of Elohim, so that those who fell sharpness, but toward you kindness, if you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. That word kindness is very interesting word there. Because let me read that verse again, because I want you to get this verse, because I read all 11 just to get to this one verse. Now there's a lot of preaching starting at verse 1 all the way to where we at now, but I was trying to get to this one verse. This one thing that we see happening here, dealing with, for if Elohim did not spare the natural branch, He might not spare you either. See then, verse 22, see then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim. Not just His kindness. You know, we have a society today just want to focus on His kindness, but not His sharpness. We don't want to talk about Yeshua's sharpness. How many remember there was ever a time that Yeshua was sharp toward any of His disciples? But see, that don't preach. How many remember a time where Yehovah is sharp toward His people? Where He gets on them about something. But that don't preach, you see. But His kindness, you know, we would talk about His kindness. Because we make Him where He don't really judge nobody. We paint a picture where He's not mad at nobody. He loves everybody. Don't worry about a thing. And that's not the case. Listen what Shaul says. And we're dealing with this. Very important, because he says, see then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who fell sharpness. Those who fell, sharpness is coming, not kindness. Those who fell sharpness. Am I reading this or not? But toward you, kindness. If you continue in His kindness. Amen. Kindness comes if you continue in His kindness. How many see that? Now that word kindness is Christotes. Christotes is this word kindness, and it deals with this simple, it means moral goodness, integrity. How can we learn anything about any moral good? It's useful. It's talking about moral excellence. Outside of Yehovah, we're immoral. On our best day, we're immoral. When we give it our best, 100%, outside of Yehovah, we're immoral. We fall into sin, but thank God Yeshua came and rescued us like Abram rescued Lot. But you have to continue. Now the burden is upon Lot to continue to live out that thing. But we know as we read on, he found himself again trapped in his environment. No different than we'll find ourselves trapped in our environment if we don't continue in kindness. You have to continue in this moral conduct. How do we learn God's moral conduct? How are we going to learn his moral conduct? Where do we go to learn about his moral conduct? We have to go to his word. We have to go to the scripture. We learn about his moral conduct. Do I need that? Well, absolutely. He's telling us. Now, we're talking about people being saved. You get saved, and that's all there is to it. No, there's not all there is to it. You can get rescued, and you can find yourself right back in trouble, just like Lot did. He got right back in Sodom and found himself in trouble, and he was needing rescue again. And it just constantly repeats itself. It don't never stop. It's constantly a cycle of you get in trouble, you got to be rescued. You get in trouble, you got to be rescued. And thank God, Avram was the one always going to prayer. God, if there be 50, will you save them? Yeah, I'll save them. There be 30, yeah. He got down to 5. Couldn't find 5 righteous. Think about that. So we have to have moral clarity. How do we have moral clarity if we're born in sin? If we have an evil inclination? What are we comparing it to? How did Shaul know when I try to do good, I don't do it, and evil's present? What was he talking about? When I want to do what's right, I don't do it. When I don't want to do what I shouldn't do, I wind up doing it. What is he talking about? Because he's looking at Jehovah's moral clarity in his life. And he recognizes constantly, I need saving. I need to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. I need to stay grafted in. I got to understand that if he took away the natural branch, I can be taken away also. So you're constantly saying, I need to get serious about this thing. This has to be something that means a lot to me. So serving God, it's a job. It's something that has to be on your list of things to do during the day. I don't care what day it is. If it's just Shabbat, you're missing it. Let me tell you, you're missing a whole lot. It's not just Shabbat. Just like we schedule everything else, we have to make sure that we don't write God out of our schedule during the week. He does definitely wants to talk to us. Remember where we're at. We're at the terebinth tree of Mamre, and there should be a slaughter place there, and that slaughter place is to be used daily in our life. He said, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua concerning you. So what does that mean? We have to be engaged in this relationship constantly. If not, we're going to succumb to the enemy. And so we see this wonderful thing laid out for us, laid out beautifully. And so this word kindness, again, I want you to get a hold to that. I want you to see what he's dealing with here. This word kindness is dealing with this moral character, this moral clarity. And we got to have somebody that we're looking up to. We have our Master Yeshua. There was none more moral than him. Death couldn't even hold him. He accomplished it and done it so well. So we have the teacher, but do we walk in the strength of the teacher? That's the issue. And you can always tell when you don't, because you succumb to the attack of the enemy in a second. It overwhelms you. But I'm trying to get you to understand it don't have to be that way. You can have victory every moment of the day. Even when you're at your most adverse situation that comes against you, you can take a deep breath and realize that he's your strength and he's your shield and he's your protector, and he'll never leave you, never forsake you, he'll always be there with you. This is the important things. You got to know that this stuff is working for you. And so we see that, see then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who fell sharpness, but toward you kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also shall be what? Cut off. I mean, see that. You also shall be cut off. Who? Nobody in here wants to be cut off, do you? I don't want to be cut off. You got to continue. You know, there's been many cases where children are born into a family and that family was very successful and the parents wind up dying and they have a trust fund. And in the trust fund, there's language word that children have to reach a certain age before they can claim they're part of their trust, and they have to have a certain conduct of life. If they're on drugs, they don't hold a job, they don't meet the criteria to receive the funds. And so what they do, they cut them off of the trust. They cut off. They don't get no money, even though they're heir to it. They don't get, because in the trust, there's wording that stipulates what you get. Let me tell you, there's a trust that God has. And there's wording that stipulates how our conduct has to be. And if we don't match that conduct, we get cut off. He cut the natural branches off. What makes us think he won't cut us off? Is everybody getting this? Because I tell you what, I was trying to figure out how can I express it in words. And I could see it as I'm sitting there. But to express it in words where it's live, sometimes it's hard to put it in your head. So you have to trust a set apart spirit to deliver the message. And I thank you for being so good to us tonight. Amen. Is this helping you? We don't want to be cut off. We're heir. We're joint heirs with Christ. That's what he said. But if our conduct is wrong, we're going to get cut off. It's that simple. Amen. But remember, some people stumble, but don't give up. Because if they stumble and fall, can he not restore them back? That's what Shaul was saying. He said he can do that. Just like Lot, you can get all your stuff taken. You can have five kings take you out and basically kidnap you. But God sent his man out there, sent his man, Abram, 318 of his servants who were trained. They knew how to wield a sword. They knew exactly what to say. And they was able to deliver him out. So on a much larger scale than Abram, we had Yeshua sent. And we were all taken captive, every one of us. We were kidnapped. We were kidnapped by ideologies, by traditions of men. But thank God Yeshua came and got us. Amen? And all we got to do is be honest with ourselves in the Word, if we're honest with ourselves in the Word. And you know how many times I sat by myself? You know how many times I sat there and I'd put my hands, I'd say, God, I want to be honest with your Word. If you don't tell me, I won't know. But if you tell me, I will say it. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how difficult it is, and if I'm standing by myself, I will say what your word says. Well, let me tell you, ask God that, he'll reveal it to you, and then you're on the hook. And you have to deliver that message. And I can't tell you, I have no regret for delivering the message that I delivered to you that are here. No regret whatsoever, because I believe it with 100% certainty in my heart. I know what God's word is declaring, just like he's saying here in the 11th chapter of Matthew. I mean, Romans, he's saying this for our understanding. So I'm so thankful for the Lord and his word. Now, for me to finish this, I need another hour or so, because I need to read Romans 3. Romans 3 and Romans 2. So who here is going to write down Romans 3 and go read all of Romans 3? Romans 2. And the wording that you're looking for is the same word of this kindness. He makes connections in these chapters on that term kindness, because there's no getting around it. That moral clarity of that word. Let me give you the Strong's. I'm going to give you the Strong's number on the kindness. The Strong's number on kindness is G5544. And that's Christostes. Christostes. And so take some time to look at that. And also G5543 is the root word. And you'll see that that's applied in these other chapters. And also you need to read Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So my plans were to read all of that tonight. But sometimes I overthink. So I sit down at my house, I'm able to read it because I don't have to give commentary to myself or comment on it. So I read through it and I said, man, it only took me 30 minutes. I read through all of it. I could do that at church. And then I come here and it turns out a little different. But you got to read Romans 3. You have to read Romans 2. And you have to read Hebrews chapter 7. Those are the things that are dealing with what we're dealing with in 14 of Genesis. And so I hope that this has ministered to your life as it has mine. I'm encouraged by it. I'm thrilled that we serve a God who cares so much for us, that he engages us in his word. And this is not just for us to have stuff to do. We're not here just so we can go through the Torah portions and and say, you know, well, I've been through them. We're here to be trained. We're here to answer the call when he says, get the sword and get ready to go. And they was able to wield this sword because they were trained. They knew exactly what to say. They weren't saying something different than Abram was saying. They were standing on the same principles he was standing on. They were camped at the same terebinth tree as he was. They were making sacrifice on the same slaughter place as he was. There was nothing different. Same thing with Yeshua. We have to do the same thing. We can't say we're following him and not do what he says. Amen? I appreciate you for being here. We have any special prayer requests?